When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to the Tuesday show where we talk about NXT and whatever the heck that's supposed to be.
Hey, this is your NXT post show for October 22nd here on the Fightful YouTube. Guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. It's the go home to Halloween Havoc. Zarya, crucially not Daria, has arrived. Obafemi is hanging out with someone who I'm just going to assume this might be. This is an assumption, and I don't think maybe what we've seen of them politically aligns, but we're going to see what comes about here. Super chats, humper chats, you know the drill, and we'll of course remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the biz. A lot going on back there outside of just breaking news. We had the accurate scoop on Samantha Johnson, formerly Samantha Urban. Her WWE tenure wrapping up. There's some conflicting information. Get the accurate information from FightfulSelect.com. Sean's Q&A and backstage report have been smooshed into one show. It's one of the most valuable resources that you can have. And head over to that Discord, because sometimes Sean just drops scoops in there without even writing up a post. So do all of those things, and you can catch Alex and I reviewing horror movies. And when I say Alex and I reviewing them, I mean Alex watches them and I'm a scaredy cat, so I listen to him talk about them.
That's true. And then Alex foolishly thinks he might be able to describe the whole movie in 60 minutes.
You're adorable sometimes. It was so cute when you were like, I'm going to impose a 60-minute time limit on myself. We went 2 hours, but it was a lot of fun. We reviewed, you reviewed, I listened I to did. You review See No Evil with Kane and several Australians for some reason.
Yes.
And a lot of questionable horror deaths, including eating a phone, which was my favorite. But you get Alex and I doing silly stuff like that behind the paywall, and you'll have your Halloween Havoc post show right here on the main channel.
Yes.
But other pay-per-views and PLEs get reviewed on Fightful Select by us, including our very popular Sands of Blind format, Alex, which we will be doing for Crown Jewel. So in honor of spooky season, horror movie puns for the evening. And some
horror
of you
movie
sent some
puns.
In.
Yes, horror movie puns. Thank you so much. You guys are really good at these. So we'll see. We'll see how this goes. Obviously, at Halloween Havoc, we'll just broaden it to Halloween puns.
Sure.
But tonight, specifically because we reviewed See No Evil, which was pretty horrific. Horror.
It was
movie
terrifying
puns.
In a different way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Kate, we were 4 for 4, I believe, on shenanigans last night on Raw.
If you shenan once,
you shenan again.
Again and again
and again and again and again and again and again and again and again. So we will see how many of the matches tonight. We will keep a running tally to see how many of the matches tonight have shenanigans, and then we will figure out what's the percentage of shenanigans. There's already 4 for 4. That counts. That's 4 for 4.
I ain't a mathematician. They're batting
1,000 so far this week on shenanigans. Let's see if we can get that number down to a respectable, 70%. 80%, something.
Well, Alex, they say all booking is created equal. And when you look at...
They do?
You look at NXT and you look at
other
programs, you can see categorically that is not true. So
right, yeah.
I'm no mathematician, but I think yesterday on Raw they were batting 1,000 for shenanigans. And I feel like today is also pretty heavy.
It is. Well, it started with the first night, first of the show.
Sure did.
We had Damage Guitar all coming back. to face fellow main roster team of Jakara Jackson and Lash Legend. Are they, like, is it, this is like a soft call-up, right? We're not doing all of this for them to stay in NXT whenever Noam Dar is healthy. Like, they're being called up just, like, in stages, right? We can all agree on this.
I miss Noam Dar so much.
Everybody does.
Kind of wondering that myself. If are they having the tag title programs float with the tag titles, or are we soft calling up? I think is what we're going to see sooner than later. Like, because I actually don't hate the idea of, hey, let's get people's feet wet on the main roster, and then when they're ready for a full call up, that can come later. But we're building out programs across. Title programs across all three shows. I was going to say programs across programs. Right. So I think that's a little bit TBD. I don't know if Jakara Jackson and Lash Legend are fully baked for a main roster call-up yet. But I feel like that's not a bad plan if you just have the feuds travel across brands with the titles. Like, I don't hate that methodology. I think it actually makes a lot more sense than some of the other stuff they do. But we'll see. We'll see. They've definitely been on the main roster more than they've been around NXT of late. So very possible.
Yeah. Ryan Cicchini mentioned he did it with Roxanne. Roxanne had one match on the main roster. They did it with Carmelo. Carmelo was in a full-blown U.S. title contenders tournament in December. And wasn't called up to the main roster until May.
And Braun was around for a while before he was officially called up.
Braun signed an exclusive contract
with SmackDown, and then got SmackDown, drafted to Raw the next week.
He signed an exclusive contract with SmackDown in February. After that, he won the Dusty Cup in NXT and defended the titles several times. Lost them on the NXT after Stand and Deliver in April, and then was called up to Raw after that. So it does feel like perhaps they might be doing something similar with Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson, where they're on the main roster, except they're not until they are. So we'll just see how long that takes.
This is kind of like, I have this Alex, this internal struggle where I get excited for the draft episode and then I hate what happens after. Like, I love the draft episode. I think the presentation this year was a lot better. I think it's really fun. I love the actual emotional appeal moments of certain talent getting called up. I think that's so fun. But then they're also like, but we just call people up some other times of the year anyway. And also, nobody's exclusive to any brand in reality. Right. So it doesn't work. And I hate that every year I'm like, let's get ready for the draft. And then by 2 weeks later, I'm like, monumentally a waste of time. Yeah. But we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. These are the only titles that float across all three brands, too. So...
Right, kind of. It kind of makes sense. Although, nominally, it's the champs that take the titles to all three brands, and correct. Not, like, contenders across all three brands fight each other on all three brands to get a title shot. That's usually not what it has been so far. So I guess we will see more and more of how this goes.
I agree with you on that. I don't hate it when it's NXT talent getting a main roster feel. Like, I don't like it when it goes the other way.
Right.
Because the issue to me is it's unlikely that an NXT team is going to hold those tag champs when you have people like Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair holding them.
Yeah.
So the way the titles flow is kind of silly. Does it sound like there's a plane taking off on the broadcast like it does with my washing machine?
Yeah, no, we can hear. We can hear that's happening. I mean, I'm assuming you've got an Apache helicopter idling in the room next door to
it
you.
It is. Alex, I'm standing here outside. I'm just going to close my door real quick.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay, cool. Bye. So the Damage Katarl versus the Meta 2 match is good. You got Io Sky and Kairi Sane selling their butts off for Jakara and Lash, and sure, if you're going to book Jakara and Lash like absolute world beaters, they're going to look like it.
Sure.
But you, I still see them stutter stepping. I still see them like what I still see them mentally remembering three moves from now type of stuff. And that to me means like I've said this before and I'll say it again. Like where Lash Legend is now is what a crazy improvement it is from 3 years ago. And
yes,
good for her for sticking it out, because once the pandemic ended and WNBA came back, she could have said, you know what? I'm good. I need to like take bumps. I can go and like be third in the league in rebounding for a contender in the WNBA. She held the record for most rebounding in all of collegiate women's basketball. She's a great women's basketball player. She could go and do that. She says, no, I actually like this. I want to try and get better at it. Good for her. I feel like Jakara Jackson, because she's been injured so many times, hasn't had the same number of reps as Lash. And to me, it shows. But anytime you're in the ring with Io and Kyrie, who are saying, yes, we will take crazy bumps for you and make you look great, you're going to look great, because that's how good Io and Kyrie are. So this match is fine and it's doing what it's supposed to do. And then Piper Niven and Chelsea Green come in and attack, just cause a DQ. Not just straight like shenanigans, like attacked on the outside and the ref was being dumb and didn't see it, but like straight up just cause a DQ. So that's our first shenanigans of the night. They cause a DQ attacking Lash and Jakara. And then they also attack Kairi Sane and EO. So it feels like, they would never do this, right? Does it feel like it's possible we're going to get some kind of crazy Survivor Series of just women's tag teams? When they were doing a Brad Supremacy, and they would do a tag team elimination match. If your partner gets eliminated, then the entire tag team gets eliminated, but it's all like everybody can tag in. So it'd be like eight people, like four tag teams on each side, somehow like a 16 woman tag match kind of crazy thing for a bit. I mean, that's not impossible considering how they've been like having all of these different tag teams cross paths. It's possible.
So I'm with you on a lot of this. I feel like you can still see, for me, I felt like I saw a lot of the telegraphing that you were kind of talking about today, especially. Mm-hmm. And to your point, like, it's just, they have tremendous upside. They're two extremely charismatic, yeah, very impressive women. But like, even just on NXT, we haven't seen a lot of reps from them,
right,
recent at all. No. So I think they could benefit from more of that before they get kind of hot-shotted into title pictures or main roster call-ups. Fantastic job by Io and Kyrie. Like, this is the plus side of that, right? Is they're working, right, with two of the best women's wrestlers in the world. They're made to look really good. They're in there with two absolute ring generals, especially Io Sky. I mean, mm-hmm, just ridiculous. I think it's fun that they were like, you know what happens at Halloween Havoc? Io does crazy stuff. So we're going to include her on the path to it. Mm-hmm. And as far as the kind of the Chelsea and Piper thing, I want them to clarify if they're an alliance or a tag team, because they've been in and out of both of those pictures. If they're a tag team, I think that's awesome. I like your idea for Survivor Series because it gets a lot of women on the card, which is great. Mm-hmm. It pays off some of this constant crossover that we've had. And like, Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair should be on pay-per-views, PLEs, right, whatever you want to call, yeah, it. So especially the big ones. So that's a fun way to get them to captain something. I just don't know if there's strong enough alliances outside of your bad guys and your good guys that I would rely on, because they'll just be like, there's so many times where it's just two girls and a friend. On like, we saw it on Raw a couple weeks ago, the abysmal thing that they, I think it was the first week of going to 2 hours, where of course women's, mm-hmm, stuff always gets cut,
right,
but they did like a 5-on-5, and I was like, this is just women. This is just, yeah, a bunch of women hanging around.
Yep.
So if they build out the relationships to be something cooler than bad girls, good girls, like, I think that could be a really fun idea and something they haven't done, and it could get the women's tag titles on a fun path for that. But And it also, like, if they're going to do Jade and Bianca dissension, that's a good stepping stone toward that inevitable split. So, good stuff. Good stuff there. Io Sky, I think there's a renewed appreciation for how great she is in some of the, like, the past 12 weeks or so. She's just had some really incredible matches, as we all know she's capable of. But just great to see her in all these different kind of contexts being so valuable.
Yeah. Ryan Cicchini says, I know y'all hate interference. We do. But most interesting the tag team division has been in forever. Honestly, might be setting up for a Survivor Series four-way. Remember, that is also in Vancouver, which is where Chelsea Green is from. Maybe she and Piper will win the tag titles there in some kind of crazy thing where, like, you know, I don't know. I was just thinking, you know, because Scotland, because Canada, you know what I mean?
Of course, possibly. Yeah.
So, you know, that's
if you're
going
to Scotland, you got to Canada, right? I mean, they Scotlanded for Piper. You got to, you got to Canada.
If you're going to Scotland for the spooky witches, you have to Canada for Chelsea Green. Yeah. That's just how it works. I mean, I don't make the rules. It's just how it goes.
That's just the way it goes. But it would also be nice for Chelsea to get that moment because she, has been one of their most valuable, persistent losers for a long time. It would be cool to see her win stuff. It really would.
Yes. Okay.
I will say it was very fun to very naturally fall into. I was setting up the broadcast for tonight.
Yeah.
It was very cool to be leading with women's programming for, like, it just naturally was the most noteworthy stuff on the show without being women.
Yeah. Right.
So it was neat. I appreciate that about NXT.
Yeah. Wrestling with Movies says, haven't chimed in a long time, but has to be said. NXT blows every other North American wrestling show away when it comes to women, and that rules. I will say they present them more. You know what I mean? Like,
screen time-wise, undoubtedly. For
screen time, it's not a comparison. I would say that they are very top-heavy. To me, they are still very, very top-heavy. You even have, to me... And again, I'm not saying she can't get better. I think they put her in a position that's no win for her right now, but their mid-card singles champion ain't ready.
Correct.
So, like, you have all of these women who are above that level, and I think the mid-card women's champion will be ready one day. She just ain't yet. And there's a bunch of women around that area that are going to pop up and, like, take it, the ball, and run. They're really, really young, and this is what NXT should be for, is that developmental thing, so they can be at that point. But they have at the tippy top, there's amazing women in NXT, and it remains to be seen how they are presented. We know that they are presented, but how they are presented can be a sticking point, i.e. Carmen Petrovic.
Yeah.
Because Carmen Petrovic, last week,
Shing Shing,
she came out during the Ashanti the Adonis match, and she brought some petals that were from a rose that he was going to give to some other girl, but then got crushed by the beach. Anyway, she left them there to distract him, and then, like, kind of was like, giving him like, oh, see, come hither kind of a thing. But we thought maybe she was playing him, and hopefully it was going to be like show that, like, she could play a player, and then it'll be like women's empowerment. And turns out no. So turns out that she's actually pining after him, and he is consistently choosing other women over her, which makes her want him more. And she is getting into fights with friends of hers because they don't understand that what she wants. Like, there's this weird backstage segment where Carmen and Soul and Brinley are all talking about Ashanti the Adonis, and then he comes up to her and he says, so what was that last week? Well, you cost me a match, so I cost you a match. It's like, is that what you were doing? Well, how do you know it wasn't? And then he leaves, and they're like, what was that all about? Just definitely a connection between the two. What's going on? It's like, oh, like, you know what I want? Bye. And then they had a match. Sol Ruka and Carmen Petrovic had a match about it. And the match ended, shenanigans again, the match ended because Carmen Petrovic, who was holding her own really well against a much more experienced woman in the ring, Sol Ruca, and then she, Shardy the Adonis was in the audience for this, and in the middle of the match, he got up and left with random other blonde girl. It wasn't Brinley. It was somebody else. And he left, and she saw him leave with another woman and got so distracted by it, she just stood there and let herself be soul snatched.
Yeah.
And she lost.
So, to the point of that super chat, as far as NXT blowing everybody away, I think we're now, and this is a very cool place to be for someone who watches a lot of women's wrestling. It's not, I don't know if there's anybody with a consistent, overwhelming edge. Like, AEW's come so far. There's some weeks where, like, especially on SmackDown, I feel like the women's roster is doing really good stuff. Raw could definitely use some love. Some weeks on NXT when I see things like Zarya arriving and Steph and Julia and stuff, like, that's, I love that it's where everybody's feasting right now. It's a pick your favorite. And TNA has long had the most consistent women's wrestling and proper booking. So just that's my thoughts to that super chat is there are weeks where I see stuff like what's going on at the top of the card in NXT. And then there's weeks where I see what's going on in AEW and whatever. The Carmen Petrovic thing is so frustrating because I felt like this might've been her best in-ring that we saw. Or, yeah. Like, close to it. Like, I was like, oh, okay, we're starting to see it click for her. Mm-hmm. And I really, for whatever reason, there's just sometimes where I feel like you can tell early with people. You're like, once they figure it out, it's going to get nasty for mm-hmm. other people. And I don't think it's a flipped switch, but I think we're starting to see that come together for her. Don't make her pathetic. Like, as a person, she's a badass. She's got swords, and she's got a martial arts background, and she's cool.
She does.
Don't make her pathetic over a dude. That's stupid. And don't make her have matches because she doesn't feel like explaining to Sol Ruca, who I don't believe cares. Let's just get to the crux of this. I don't buy that Sol Ruca gives... We're out of the pay window, or the monetization window. I don't buy that she gives a flying shit about Carmen Petrovic having a crush or not on Ashanti the Adonis. I don't buy it. I don't buy that that's Sol Ruca's character. I don't like that this is the direction they're heading in with Carmen. That's neither of their faults. I just think this is a dumb creative direction to head. I think there's still a possibility that we get what you and I were thinking last week from Carmen. Mm-hmm. On a longer burn, like where she gets fed up by him choosing other people and then turns the tables. Like I could see that being mm-hmm. a longer term character arc, but this part of it sucks. So not into that at all. And it just pretty poor excuse of a reason for Sol Ruca to be having a match.
Yeah.
Let's fight about the fact that there may or may not be a romantic connection with me and someone that you have no vested interest in.
Sol Ruca's like, So you say that you don't like this guy that I have no connection to, but I think you do like this guy that I have no connection to. So yes, we should fight about it.
I mean, you gotta have a good reason to want to beat someone up, I feel like.
I believe it. I believe you should, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Ryan Giacchini says, I don't think Carmen's is a jealousy thing, but she doesn't like to be looked a fool. Nah, it's a jealousy thing. You're giving them too much credit as writers. Like it's lowest common denominator stuff. It's super easy. It's not like there's not nuance there in this story. I can almost guarantee it. It's just that
certainly not yet.
He gave a flower to Brinley to apologize for costing her their tag match. And then the flower got crushed and she found the petals. And then she was like, nah, you cost me a tag match.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots. And you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I cost you one. How do you like them apples? And then she was like flirting with him backstage. And then he left with another woman, which caused her to lose a match. She's jealous of it. She's she wants him to want her. So.
And like, if that's the direction they go, which is a direction I would like better, that has not been established yet so far. Because she did look like a fool. Just waited to get soul snatched off of the distraction.
Correct.
So that might be something that develops with this. Yeah. It would certainly, if they do have a situation where she turns the tables and starts to manipulate him, that should play into it. That's a good character motivation of you made me look like an idiot. Yeah. But I don't think we're there yet, and I don't have confidence we're going there at all.
Yeah, unfortunately. Well, Meet Norma says the only time it's okay to enter the ring with a dangerous woman carrying swords and nunchucks that you won't use in a match is if it's two drugged up bears.
Well, of course.
You know, like, it's true.
Of course. That's if it's true. A big Josh situation, of course.
Yeah. Hey, so here's the thing. Another women's match. Like, that, the one I talked about was out of order. But there are two marquee tag matches kicking off the show. And then a bunch of women's stuff within the middle of the show that we didn't know we were going to get. And so, again, they're giving them all of the screen time, which is great for them. Great for them. And I am happy about that. Jada Parker and Tatum Paxley was excellent.
Yes.
Tatum Paxley.
Yes, it was. The reps
she's getting in TNA are really helping her out. Jada Parker seems to be the breakout of that class. And she's only going to get better and better and better.
Good chemistry. Like, in ring style chemistry. Wise, it clicked chemistry. Tonight. Really good stuff.
I really do like what Tatum Paxley is doing. Her and Jada Parker have a good thing. Here's the thing with this match. This match had no shenanigans, but was the potential
call
for was
there. Shenanigans.
The potential was there for double shenanigans because each woman who was wrestling this match had a separate woman who they hate and who hates them. So I was honestly pleasantly surprised at their restraint for not doing double shenanigans in this match. This match just ended with when Jada Parker hit a butt to the face, and it only rocked Tatum Paxley. It was a glancing butt to the face.
It was a glancing butt to the face.
So then she had to run the ropes, which as we know from Joe Tessitore, that makes it a super butt to the face.
Yes,
when you run the ropes, when you go bing, 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 butt to the face, that is that's a super butt to the face. And one with that. And immediately afterwards, out comes Lola Vice being held back by the entirety of a whole security firm. Like, they said, hey, we need some people here tonight to hold back a lady from fighting another lady. Well, how many guys you need? Like, three, four? No, all of them.
No.
Every hire a contract with a temp agency and bring in all the male bodies you have, because that's how many people we need to hold back one lady from attacking another lady. That was Lola Vice trying to get to Jada Parker. While that was happening, Wendy Chu dragged Tatum Paxley out of the ring and put her in a road box and then wheeled it off screen.
I was so happy about what I saw from this match. Like, I thought we had a lot of really... I thought Jada's speed was better. I felt like the match pacing was better than we've seen a lot of times. They kind of work, I feel like, in similar wheelhouses stylistically. So it felt like they were speaking the same language this entire match, which is not always the case. But I really liked what we've gotten out of them. I feel like you're right. I feel like Jada's really the one kind of pulling away from the pack of that next group up. And Tatum's been great for a long time. I know our moderator, Luis, was frustrated that Booker T called her spooky. Because she's not spooky, but it's least spooky season, so I'm into it.
She's not spooky. She's
out of her damn mind. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah, she's
playing with dolls that look like her competitors and decapitating them. She's off a rocker.
Which to some people might be considered spooky.
See, spooky makes me think supernatural. Spooky is supernatural.
Creepy?
Full in on creepy.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, no, see, she's not just goth. You can't compare Tatum Paxley to Rhea. Rhea is just goth. Rhea is not decapitating, like, weird facsimiles of her opponents. Like, she found a Barbie doll that looked like Kalani Jordan and then ripped her head off. That's not goth. There's a level beyond goth when you're like, this is you, Kalani, rip. There's a whole other level. You know what I mean? Now, would she be spooky if she tore the head off of a Kalani Jordan Barbie doll with her mind?
Yes.
Like she held it out in front of her and then the head goes boop. You know what I mean?
100%.
Okay, cool. All right.
We've clarified. We've clarified the boundaries.
Let me talk.
Luis, you are simply held to a higher standard. Okay.
You are. You simply are. I'm sorry. Here was our grandest offender of this new CW thing that they do, mm-hmm. where they take a crazy amount of time in between everything, like anything important. So I went back and I timestamped it because I was like, when the hell is the next match going to take place? Or major in-ring promo or anything, yes. Like nothing. I timestamped it. At 30 minutes and 21 seconds, the pinfall happens of Jada on Tatum Paxley. At 48 minutes and 15 seconds, the opening bell of the next match takes place.
Oof. It felt long, but that's a really long time.
18 minutes with nothing really happening. There was some backstage stuff that told a story, but like there wasn't like a segment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like that's on a 2-hour show, 18 minutes without anything.
18 minutes with it's opening night of the NBA. I mean, it was a blowout, so maybe people weren't turning into that. But, like, you got to get people to, like, oh, hey, up next is Obafemi versus Luca Crucifino. And up next is 18 minutes later? Come on. Yeah. Like, I mean, that's crazy.
That's
so,
a
like,
lot.
To me, and the thing of it was, what we got was, after Wendy Chu wheels the road box containing Tatum Paxley out. We get Lexus King, who
that
kind of
ruled,
wants...
by the way. The road box thing I thought was awesome.
The road box thing was good. I thought you said the Lexus King thing ruled, because the Lexus King thing does not rule. That is the opposite.
No.
That's
the road box thing I thought ruled.
The road box thing is interesting. We will see where it goes from here. So Lexus King is like, hey, and once again, I want to thank you for helping me out with I won that match. I won that match fair and square. I didn't cheat or anything. And it seems that people are still doubting me. And all of the No Quarter Catch crew is like, it's okay, buddy. Don't worry about it. You'll pull through. I'm like, why are we like being nice and gentle and kind to Lexus King? Shave the beard into something resembling a beard and we'll talk. Until that happens, I'm sorry, man, you're going to remain a heel. So,
you cannot have your heel heat beard and be treated with kid gloves. Yeah. That just doesn't work.
What if we, like, Maybe I could get a title shot for that Heritage Cup. I mean, yeah, sure, we could do that. I think, but it'll be nice, and you know, a lot of, you know, whatever rules and stuff. But you know, you have to find a corner man. And he's like, oh, corner man. Okay, yeah, I can do that. And so that was the next segment, and we went to commercial there. We come back from commercial, and we get Wendy Chu wheeling Tatum Paxley in the roadblocks through this road the box through the scene. And then we see it's Cedric and Javon talking to the Blurry Boys. And Javon Evans, 19 years old, doesn't like being called a kid. So, like, at some point, I actually really agree with Nathan Frazier. Like, I had to deal with all this stuff when I was your age. How old is Nathan Frazier? 26?
Something like that, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so, like, he's very young. But, like, I had to deal with all this stuff when I was your age. You know, like, eventually you'll be a champion. And blah, blah, blah. And so he slaps him in the face. And Cedric's like, whoa, 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 what are we doing? You know? And then Wes Lee is there, and he starts talking trash to Javon Evans. And Javon Evans is now not standing for any of this crap. Okay, so that was actually the most important thing that happened between Abel and DeBell was that scene, because it set up something we're gonna get confirmed later, which is that we're gonna get that tag title match, which is gonna be great. Okay, so then there's a vignette of Julia and Stephanie Vaquer talking in Spanish, and was it Italian or was it Japanese? I'm not sure, but they were talking with subtitles, and it was like, cool to see them, you know, basically saying, hey, we first time we met was we were across the ring from each other. All this kind of stuff.
Yes.
So we are being put together in this match versus the two bad girls of NXT because reasons. So that's fine. So then after that, we see that Big Ange was attacked backstage. We don't know who it was. Tony D is going to stay backstage and help her out while Stax goes to the ring with Luca. Another commercial. So between the two commercials, we got a backstage thing with the Blurry Boys and Javon and Cedric and then Wesley. Then we got a vignette pre-produced. Then we got another backstage thing very briefly. Yeah. Then we go to commercial again. Like, I don't feel like that's sustainable. I feel like you got to do stuff between the commercials more than you have been doing.
Yeah, and they could have put the face-to-face between Ethan. If you weren't going to have Ethan Page and Trick close things out, you could have had it, like,
right
in this swath of stuff. But honestly, Alex,
yeah,
there's some people that would be happy in the last 18 minutes between life events. You know what I mean?
Right.
There are. But there's some people that, like, maybe their stuff is actually, like, too close together. And right. I think they might need a little help. And we encourage that with our friends at Blue Chew.
You dealing with a nosy mailman all up in your business about what you're ordering, what you're getting? Well, don't worry about it with BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. It ships discreetly. Discreetly. Fortunately for you, because a mailman's going to want to know what's going on. He's going to be delivering that mail to your house. He's going to hear all these sounds. He's going to be like, what's going on there? Well, I don't know, because this package doesn't say anything, but I have a feeling the package in there is saying something, and it will be because of BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Helps get you that main event performance and confidence. And you get your first shipment free when you go to BlueChew.com and use the code FIGHTFUL. Like I said, same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but much more affordable and in a chewable. Take their online quiz, and then when approved, it ships straight to your door. My gosh. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Mind your own business, mailman.
Yes, mind your own business, mailman. Also, we're doing horror movie puns tonight. So keep those rolling in. We do thank you for those.
Do you want to go over any other super chats? We didn't do our greetings.
Okay, well, they weren't here before, so okay, now they are.
I'm just saying.
Okay,
fine. I saw them in the document, and I feel we should acknowledge.
Okay,
our dear fine. SGS.
Okay, fine. You just want me to read the thing your dad wrote, and that's fine.
No, I didn't even see his actually.
Okay. J.W. Pringle says, amazing Alex, Killer Kate, popular Papa Paul, Elizabeth, Luis, and all the SGS. Getting this one in early, the hand that rockers the cradle.
That's really good.
That's really and good. Paul Elizabeth says, not everything sucks, especially not the weather in Southeast PA.
Hope
the best stream team, best moderator, and all the Sour Graps Society have a great night. Vote J.W. Pringle next month. I'm Paul Elizabeth, and I approve this message.
See, my dad campaigning for his son this close to the election, I think, is really special. Nice.
That's very
I guess
good.
He doesn't believe his own daughter could be president, but whatever.
Very good. So we get this whole thing of Lexis King needs a friend. It plays out in the background of another scene where we see him talking to Dante Chen, who we had that feud with months ago. Remember when he did his finisher to him on the mat that he
Dante
pulled up
Chen?
And then he can't get booked because he's got to hang out backstage telling Lexis King, no, I will not be your second in this match with Charlie Dempsey because you tried to murder me by doing your finisher on double padding. And that cannot stand. You must be punished for this. So then he asks,
you made it safer, and I don't appreciate that.
Then he asks something else. I don't know. Somebody else. I'm not sure who, but that person also says no, and he's like, oh, man.
Because this guy sucks. He's been irredeemable. Yeah, no, Why are we supposed to be friends with him?
Here's the thing. When we see him talking to Ava about I asked everybody, and nobody will be my corner man. Couldn't you just appoint somebody, Ava? It's like, no, I'm sorry, that's not how this works. You have to find somebody who's willing to do it for you. And he goes, oh man, you and your dad would never get it because everybody likes you. Everybody thinks I'm just like him. And leaves. Like, nobody thinks you're just like Brian Pillman Sr. He was awesome. Nobody thinks you're just like him. This is ridiculous. Like, your characters aren't awesome. Your characters are entirely different.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like there's nobody thinks that, like, oh, maybe you're gonna be a loose cannon and try and like be crazy with all of your coworkers.
That's Brooks Jensen's whole thing right now.
You have been awful to everyone while being like, it looks like the king is on a roll. Like, that's nobody likes that guy. Why would anybody like that guy? You know what I mean? Like, regardless of whether or
not the king is on a roll,
that is a quote. Like, he walked into a room with a bunch of people and said, looks like the king is on a roll. And like who likes that guy?
Oh my god, the way you said that sent me. I mean, at least they're acknowledging that he has no friends. That's a good thing. But someone could confuse me with my dad. I'm like, Brooks Jensen is doing that whole thing right now.
It's so weird. He's actually doing the thing that you think that people think you're doing, but you're not doing it.
But you're not. And hasn't been even in the ballpark of that, Alex. Like,
no,
he not even close. Like, he's been like, I don't like your music and I think you should turn it down, and also hey ladies. Like, there's been nothing even close to loose cannon Brian Pillman. And if you don't know that, learn your wrestling history, Marks.
Yeah. Just kidding. Louise says, here is my biggest critique of this whole thing. If the end goal was to have King versus Dempsey for the Heritage Cup, then why the F was Oro Mensah versus King from last week shitty pure rules and not a full-blown Heritage Cup rules match? You know what I mean? Like, the title doesn't have to be on the line for you to fight for have the actual match under those rules. You know what I
Certainly
mean?
Certainly not, yeah.
So why not do that? And also, Ryan Cecchini saying that his thing is that he believes that in the match, there's no chance that the Lexis King doesn't cheat to win versus Charlie Dempsey. Like, it's all been a master plan, which honestly gives Lexis King too much credit as a strategist. But at least
would
it would
be better.
Be better than like nobody likes me. Guess I'll go eat worms. Like, I mean, listen, don't get me wrong. I want Lexis King, the character, to be sad. I just don't want to have to watch it. You know what I mean? Like, so can we just, can we get him, like, there was an opportunity to find one of the big guys you got backstage who's just a giant offensive lineman who can do a choke slam and give Lexis King a big guy who follows him around, who smashes people. You know what I mean? Like, you could just do that for him. I don't want him to ever have the title, but you could easily push a guy like that with
a heavy,
with a heavy, as opposed to I ride a chair out onto the ramp. Like, that's not a thing.
It's been too long.
Yeah. It is true.
That was a great slide in by me. I agree with you. I agree with you. There's not a lot about that makes sense. I actually kind of like the master plan idea out of everything that's been said here the most, but I don't have an emotional investment to feel bad for him, and he's not even close to what his dad was doing, so that really threw me off. That really threw me off.
So the other thing about this that is I saw in the thing is that his corner man might end up being CM Punk, but I don't think, because the weird little connection they had at the Chicago thing, you know, probably not, right? No, good. I'm glad. Oh no, she left. That's how bad she hated that idea. Yeah.
I'll quit.
Yeah, I know.
It'll probably be an ECW legend.
Yeah.
Like if they do it for the ECW show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. Now, listen, I'm sorry. I don't feel like you're allowed to do a pure rules match at the ECW arena. I feel like that would open up a portal into hell. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's, you've angered some demons, man. That's not okay.
You right? know what? They could do that match at the 2300 arena, which is clean and has the white girl lights that are at every brewery that hang down whatever.
Sure.
I don't think they realize how dangerous and bad parking is at the 2300 arena. There's going to be like all these kids and happy fans that are like, oh, fun, an NXT show. And it's going to be like,
no.
It's under a really gritty bridge. And so, good. Yeah. And there's not like a proper parking lot. It's like, fend for yourself. I will not say which wrestler, but I will tell you off air, was in full gimmick and was like, you're not going to your car alone, are you? Like, that's not, I was like, no, I have someone to walk me out. And they were like, okay, because I would have dropped everything and walked into your car. It's not a nice area.
No, it's not great. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
You're not prepared for who this is. I'm going to type it in the private chat.
Okay. So, yes, Javon Evans slaps Nathan Fraser. Nathan Fraser wants a match versus Javon Evans and Cedric Alexander. Cedric actually was mostly just trying to calm Javon Evans down. He was not part of this whole thing, so the match is going to be great. Axiom doesn't seem to want to do it, so you know what I mean.
They still have like this odd couple relationship.
They do,
which is kind of funny. But
all right, here I'm going to look at the private chat and let's see how good of a poker face I have on who this was that did this thing that you said. Okay, yes. That was shocking. Okay. So yes, it does appear that our beloved Big Ange was attacked backstage. We think we know who it is by the end of the night, but
big ups for Big Ange.
It could be somebody else. We could only hope, because the person who they are trying to tell us it was would be a bad idea. So, Obafemi defeats Luca Crucifino. Luca is a big boy and takes some good punishment, but there was no real chance of any of that actually happening. You know, for Oba's going to win that, and Oba wins it with his awesome kneeling power bomb, which I guess they call Fall from Grace.
It's so cool.
It's a pop-up kneeling powerbomb is an excellent idea, and he does it really well, and I liked it a lot. Afterwards, he attacks both Stax and Luca after the bell, and Tony comes down, and he just throws Tony full force, shoulder first, into the ring steps, and then goes and gets a toolbox, and gets some zip ties out of there, and zip ties Tony, his wrist to the bottom turnbuckle while standing on the outside. Then he does his couch throw to Luca through a table, and another thing to Stax through the announce table, just leaves Tony there, survey the wreckage of his family. And all this is good because he did say, I promise you, when you face me the second time, you will not have your family there to back you up. So listen, he took out Stax and Luca the way he said. Luca was the one who demanded the match, so Luca gave him the opportunity to do this thing to Stax and Luca. That's all great. I don't mind him, you know, paying somebody off to take out sure. Big Ange. That's certainly something. Or maybe he's created an alliance with a member of the female roster. Just as a theory, depending on who that female member of the roster might be, this is all fine. And later in the show, we happen to see Nikita Lyons talking to who I've christened Team Bouncy Beef. I don't even remember what they were saying because I was worried they were going to pair her with Team Bouncy Beef. And I was like, oh, well, that wouldn't be good. We probably shouldn't do that. And then it got worse because from around a corner comes Obafemi carrying her weird fur coat thing that she wears to the ring and says, here, I believe you dropped this. And she goes, oh, thank you. I said, no, thank you. He leaves, and I jumped out all of the windows in my house. I jumped out a window, and then I came back upstairs and jumped out another one. And it turns out, I twisted my ankle, but like nothing really happens. No. I need to live in a taller house. I need to live in a taller house. If they're gonna keep doing this segment, I need to live in a taller house because I need to jump out of taller windows, like. We don't have a window. We don't have an attic. We've got a basement, but there's no, like, you really can't jump out of a basement window. You know what I mean?
No, that doesn't work.
You can climb out of a basement window, but that really doesn't have the same effect.
Defeats the purpose. Yeah. I need to climb out of, I need my house to be taller so I can jump out of taller windows is one of the funniest things you've ever said. So I don't want to just skip past the fact that you said I need to live in a taller house so I can jump out taller windows.
I'm gonna build a third story on my house.
Yeah,
just in case.
There's gonna be a huge addition put on your house just because Shawn Michaels drove you there. The last thing that was so good, I can't remember what it was, but it was something about throwing bricks in Stanford and like how many bricks you were gonna bring. It's aligned with that. I will just say that if the alliance ends at that, that's actually kind of cool because Nikita Lyons is a powerhouse. And if she was tasked with doing one job, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I will say I saw a lot of black voices speaking up in particular about this, about how disappointed and uncomfortable this alliance made them. I think there are some people that feel like the presentation, especially historically, not maybe as much this go around, has felt a little appropriative. So we'll see if this is where it ends. I also, I don't love it either, but I also don't necessarily love it for Nikita coming back because she was kind of like a top prize. Like she should be going after Kalani Jordan or something. You know what I mean? Like she was highly and heavily pushed before she went out. But this was, I didn't jump out of all the windows in my house, but I have a porch and I was looking. Which is probably good because it is tall. I've got room to fall there. And empty jack-o'-lantern, I meant to make the same joke. Birds of a feather. They do not keep the same energy. Very different energies. Like Nigerian dominant force and
I hate Alpha Bill for making a joke this good that it's not an alliance. It's an alliance.
It's almost enough to sell me on it, but it's not. Like, there's too many degrees of separation. Like, they've gone a bridge too far with this. But an alliance, if they don't use that in other ways, amount of money on the table.
I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Luis says, I need Zooksies or Kevin Owens to hit me with a package pile driver to help me erase this angle from my memory. That's what Luis says.
That's fair.
You know what's almost as bad? Delta's not Delta anymore.
I don't hate this.
You don't.
I feel like Zarya is a badass name.
Oh. Okay.
It did make me think of Daria. That was the first thing I thought of. I was like, I hope she doesn't come out in the green jacket and a monotone voice. Zarya's not bad. I feel like it fits with the presentation they've given her so far. If you're going to change it.
No, A, don't change it. And B, I don't feel like it fits her at all. Like, Zarya is the third mean girl in a new Mean Girls movie. You know what I mean? It doesn't feel right to me. You know what I mean?
Like, I felt like it felt more like goddessy or something.
Yeah. I mean,
I much prefer Delta, but I don't, out of all the name atrocities that we've had, like, this is not on a scale of one to Pete Dunne being called Butch. This is not anywhere close.
It just felt so unnecessary, especially since
Stephanie
Vaccaro gets to keep her name. Julia
gets to
keep her name.
That's like, true.
If they were doing this with everybody who comes in, like they were doing a couple of years ago, everybody who comes in, you got to change your name. Well, like, and the idea, like, oh, well, you know, the airlines. So you're worried about somebody like Googling Delta and getting an airlines and being like, well, this isn't the wrestler.
No, but now what do I do? But trademarking.
But don't you trademark
something? I mean, she's also Delta Brady. Like, you could just.
You could call her Delta Brady. You could also like you trademark something as an airline and you trademark another thing as another thing. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, nobody confuses. I don't know. That just feels weird to me. Like,
there are certain things I will say. I don't necessarily agree or disagree with this, but there are people that think this way because I've dealt with this on the band name side. When a brand like Delta Airlines owns so much of a space, the SEO is also impossible to overcome. Like, if you even search Delta Wrestler, you might
Delta
be...
Delta WWE?
I don't know. I don't know. If they ever had a partnership with Delta Airlines at any point or whatever, like, she might be buried, I'm not kidding, 10 pages back. Like, there's a lot right. of a
okay,
lot of
fine.
That. But...
Okay, fine. But, like, Zarya just to me sounds just like, no, it feels like it is a new character for the next season of Euphoria or whatever that's called. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it feels like to me. Like,
well, now that's how I'm thinking. That wasn't my initial thought, but now I can't unthink that. This is what we're supposed to do to other people, not ourselves.
Yeah. Also, Andrew Zarian now. Like, hold on.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay.
Andrew Zarian now apparently is.
This is his cousin.
Yeah. Zarya Zarian. Your name is Julia Gulia? Your name is Zarya Zarian?
Or like one is the plural of the other.
Yeah, I know. And she, yes, I'm sure she had a say in picking her name. I just,
It just doesn't mean you have to like it.
It doesn't mean I have to like it. It doesn't mean I think that there must be other names to use. Like, they're making her into what appears to be a post-apocalyptic war goddess. Zarya! That's, like, doesn't, is... to me, doesn't, like, those two things don't go together. So.
I can see how it could feel more American gladiatory than a post-apocalyptic war goddess.
Yeah, that's true. Andre Chase says that he can't make he does the whole thing like we took you in and we gave you a family for the first time in your life. We won tag gold together, but what I've learned is that you cannot have the measure of a man in victory. The true measure of a man comes in defeat, and I cannot make you feel the pain you've caused Ridge Holland or Duke Hudson, and I sure as hell can't make you feel the heartbreak that you've caused Thea Hale, but I can make you feel what it felt like when I got put in an ambulance at No Mercy. So we're going to have an ambulance match. And I like to announce right now, I'm not watching that. So whatever you want to do to, like, you're in charge of covering the Halloween Havoc ambulance match between Andre Chase and Ridge Holland. Ambulance matches are already not great. And to have this particular storyline, this whole thing be decided in an ambulance match, it just ain't for me. By the way, can you let me know when they open the ambulance for the first time and inside the ambulance is Duke Hudson and Riley Osborne? Because that's kind of a thing. They've both got bats or something. Because that thing's like a feel it's going to actually have a thing. So
I can't believe you think that would happen. I don't know what would lead you to believe such a thing might happen. But, yeah. I mean, the good news is we're at the end of that feud probably then, right?
Oh, so, God, I hope so. But you know what? Probably not. So
what's there left to be done? That's never stopped them before, though.
No, never stopped them before. Just keep on doing it.
I don't know if this, objectively, I know you hate it, but I don't know objectively if this did a whole lot for anybody involved for how long it's gone on. Like, nobody's I guess it's kind of helped move the needle on Ridge Holland. We've moved past a bunch of the other crap, but I do feel like, and we got to see Miles E. Riles born in,
we did,
like, do more than a shooting star press, but the amount of creative investment to payoff ratio is low. Like, not, it's not in a, it's not in favor. It's in a great deal of disfavor.
Yeah. Luis says that this is only match one. There's four more matches to go. Well, thankfully we already got the one match with Duke and two matches with Riley. This is match four. You know what I mean? Here's what I'm worried about is that, Andre Chase wins in an ambulance match, a stipulation match. We have to beat a guy so bad he can't get out of an ambulance before you cut the door.
Right.
And then this will actually be settled in a straight up wrestling match 3 weeks from now. You know what I mean? So
that is nerve wracking. And Alex, you know what? You mentioned all the tropes with ambulance matches. Escaping the ambulance and such.
Yes. Yes.
I want to know if they're going to manscape the ambulance.
Nobody wants to see your hairy balls, so clean them up. Manscaped.com and the code FIGHTFUL is taking care of you. Maybe you're just looking at yourself and you're going, I'm too far gone. There's nothing I can do. Manscaped's got you covered. And you might say, but Sean, there's just so much. Where do I begin? Manscaped.com and the code FIGHTFUL. That's where you begin. That's where you go. That's what you do to figure out all this. Body wash, body buffers, shampoo, beard oil, beard balm, beard trimmers, beard combs. And then stuff for your nether regions. Ear and nose hair trimmers. What don't they have at manscaped.com when you use that code FIGHTFUL? If you travel too much, you're like, I can't be bothered with that. They got the go bag as well. They got the groin and go bundle. They have everything for you. Don't let yourself go by the wayside. Take control of yourself and your cleanliness. Go to manscaped.com. Use that code FIGHTFUL.
I gotta say, unlikely that an ambulance itself would need one of Manscaped's products. Seems unlikely.
I mean, unless we find one that grows hair.
Yeah, I feel like there's not many of those.
Maybe, I was gonna think, like, maybe in the Cars universe, But like, they don't have facial hair in the Cars universe, do they?
I don't think they do. No, and I don't even know if they have ambulances, do they?
Well, they have everything. Yeah.
So it really should be called the Vehicles franchise.
Yeah. No, you don't even want to go into the whole like Cars thing. Like, is this a post-apocalyptic world? Like we have all of these. Like, why do we need ambulances? There are no humans to transport. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird.
I love that your brain gets taken. It's not just wrestling, ladies and gentlemen.
It's not.
Especially now that you have a daughter, like, you're going to see so many illogical franchises.
Oh, it's just a bit. So, we got our trick in Ethan's segment where Ethan cuts a hell of a promo that is not believable at all. And that's the problem with the way they presented him so far. He's like, I've been doing this for 17 years. Like, I did like that they did not do an obligatory, you and I, we are not so different. You
yes,
and I.
Thank God.
And instead they did, you and I, we have nothing in common. You
not
and
even
I.
A little, and it makes you want to kick your ass. Yeah.
Yeah. And he says that, so yeah, you think you've actually faced tough opponents, people who've actually wanted to hurt you? I don't feel like Carmelo sat at home thinking of all the ways that he could torture you so bad that you wish you had never even thought about becoming a wrestler, because I've done that. That's all I do. And like that's fine, except for the fact that like he's basically The Miz, but he's got Jeffrey Dahmer glasses. Like, maybe that's where we're supposed to get the serial killer thing out of this. But like, the glasses like make him somehow more crazy. I mean, I'm fine with it, but like, we'll see. We'll see where all of this goes.
It's Halloween Havoc. I'm in for that.
You know, I mean, it's fine, but like, these, at least we didn't get I believe that I shall win the match. you're crazy. I believe that I will win the match. At least we didn't get that for 5 minutes, which is what these usually are. So I like that we got something different, but Trick constantly. The problem I have with this is that Trick's winning.
Yeah.
Right, I think we all figured out Trick's winning. But if you structure the go home promo segment of "You're taking me too lightly," I'm going to hurt you. No matter what I have to do to get that title from you, I will do it. This has become my obsession. It took me 17 years to become a champion in WWE. Now I'm addicted to it. And if I have to kill you to get that belt back, I'm going to do it. And Trick's like, nah, fam. Like that, like a guy who takes what is being told to him, that kind of thing from Ethan, who takes it so lightly that he's just cracking jokes, trying to pop the crowd. That guy deserves a comeuppance.
Yeah.
And that's how you actually tell the story. Like, and then you, like, if we hadn't already done the thing, you know, where he already lost the title and then got it back, like, this would be a great time for him to lose the title, figure out how to be serious about his career, and then get the title back. But you can't do that now after we already had him lose the title and then just get it back. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, this is all of this I thought was pretty good, absent of the context that it's in, which is rough, because right. I don't want them to do something bad, so I don't want them to continue on the path that they've got on. But it makes what was done and said less justifiable, mm-hmm. and you cannot neuter another Trick Williams title reign. This is the Ethan Page that I know and love. This is the guy that my God.
I've
this
seen
is
him be
incredibly house.
Violent, and like, this is what he should be doing. The problem is that this is who Ethan Page was before he got here. Since he got here, you've made him into The Miz, and The Miz doesn't do any of the stuff that he did in Evolve. Like, that's not who The Miz is, and you made him into the fucking Miz, and that's the problem with this.
When he wins, it's by accident, right? Like, Ora Mensa was pinning this guy not in a match, like, rolling him up just all over the place for weeks, if not months. But it was nice to see this guy emerge again. Like, it was really nice.
He is one of the best promos they got.
Yeah.
Raw, SmackDown, or NXT. He really is one of the best promos
Big
they
time.
Got. He's
match
so
the character
good at this.
Up. Just align the character with it. That's all. Just support it with the matches and booking.
Just a little bit.
Ask a lot.
No, we don't ask a lot, but he's very, very good. And I'm very happy for Ethan Page that he is getting this kind of shine, major like title matches on pay-per-views and stuff. Let's just we'll see. Cora and Rox are talking with Fatal Influence about who's I don't know, the batter bitches or something. I don't know. They're just basically be like, well, we're gonna beat up Julia. We're gonna beat him up tonight. So there, and I hope, like, when we do, you can give us a thank you or whatever, that kind of a thing. And then Kwani comes in and is like, hey, could you tell me which one of the three of you I'm gonna face? And Halloween Havoc, and they're like, no, because that's our advantage. Because now you don't even know who you're gonna prepare for. And then that's it. And so,
which is good heel behavior. They should do that.
Here's the deal. I am positive of the fact that as of the end of the show last week, that the stipulation was that Fatal Influence had to beat Julia and Steph to get one of them a title match.
100%.
Versus Kalani. Tonight it was, by agreeing to do this match, you got a tag, you got a title match for the North American title, which doesn't make a lot of sense at all. But the reason why they had to do it is because they realized that if they do that, then you're going to have to pin either Julia or Stephanie in the go home show before they face Cora and Roxanne.
Yeah, exactly.
And like that, maybe that's not quite the level of shenanigans we need to do.
No, you've shenaned again one too many times.
So that's why they changed it. And anyway, yeah. So that's how that got set up. Hank and Tank befriend a NASCAR driver who is 26 years old but looks like Arn Anderson. You know what I mean? Like, it is. I'm sorry. I couldn't believe it when somebody told me in the Discord he's 26 because he doesn't look.
Isn't
like
that Brock Anderson's whole thing?
Basically. He's not the most charismatic dude. But they run afoul of OTM in the parking lot while selling merch. And then they have a match. It's OTM versus Hank and Tank. And the match has double shenanigans. They saved it for this match. Because Jada Parker is at ringside and Lola runs in. Apparently she took a left turn and lost all the security guys that were following her. I think I lost them. And then she runs down to the ring and starts beating the hell out of Jada Parker. But the match continues. But the ref doesn't watch it long enough. So NASCAR dude hits. Is it Bronco? I think it's Bronco. Hits OTM number one in the back with his NASCAR helmet. Cheats on behalf of the good guys to help them win a match that, like, was, you know, were the bad guys cheating a whole lot in the match? They deserved some kind of, like, turnabouts fair play? He just hit a guy in the back with a thing and caused him to lose the match. Also, didn't Bronco break his nose in May? Like, we gotta check that out and see if all the bones are healing correctly. Because he broke his nose in May, and I don't think he should be still wearing the faceplate. It's not like it was one that was gifted to him by Cody Rhodes for no reason.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
This man's name is Cole Cluster. He is not a NASCAR driver. He has to be actively in Clue. There's no way that Cole Cluster, are we kidding?
Yeah.
That guy is a murder mystery man.
Yeah. Yeah.
This was just it felt like NXT was kind of crowded tonight. Part of the pacing with that 18 minutes was weird. They could have cut this. There was no need for this.
And afterwards, when they all got in the ring, the three dudes, the good guys and the NASCAR fella, and they all hold their hands up, then Lola Vice gets in there and she's like, wait, play my music instead. And then she shakes her butt. And then we get to watch what Cole Custer thinks is shaking the butt, because that man,
I don't know if Jeremy's hit the headline yet.
He's not the greatest dancer. So
he's not, and he's, I'm sure he's great at driving cars. Very
yeah,
fast.
Sure. Yeah. No, he can take a left-hand turn like nobody's business. I'll tell you what.
Oh, one of the best to ever make a left-hand turn at a very fast speed. I'll just say this. When somebody pops ass on wrestling television, Jeremy Lambert usually
is right there. Yes.
I don't know if Cole earned his ass popping headline. I don't know.
He wasn't popping ass. He was barely moving ass.
Yeah. You know? I don't even know how you describe that in a headline, but when you talk about the names that have graced the popping ass headline, I don't feel like he's in that same category.
Yeah. So Tony P says they showed you OTM don't matter outside of Jada.
They really have done a bad job of building up OTM outside of Jada.
Yeah.
They really have.
He says again, this is my thing. You had them go to commercial, then back for promos backstage, then back to commercial. Hell, women backstage promos were confusing. They actually did a thing where before the main event, they did back from commercials, 4 minutes back to commercial. 4 minutes!
It's like we said on Raw, that's basically the SNL like came back swoop to then go back to commercial.
It's because the commercials themselves are 3.5 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's like between like 3.5 minutes of commercials, 4 minutes of basically nothing, and then 3.5 minutes of more commercials. Like, that just feels...
like 7 minutes of commercials.
Yes. Yeah, it does. Then he says, then I thought Adonis and Carmen was bad, but Oba and Lions, yuck. That's what 20P says.
Yeah.
Steph and Julia defeat Fatal Influence.
They do.
They defeat him. It's like this is the Fallon and JC are two of the absolute veterans here, and they know what the hell they're doing. I don't think that either of them have a ceiling that matches anything close to where Julia and Steph are going to be. You know what I mean? And that's, I'm not saying that they're, I'm saying maybe the characters hamper them, but not their in-ring ability. You know what I mean?
Yes, 100%.
Like Cruella DeVille Cowboy. And like 1/3 of Toxic Attraction. Cause she's just like, now that she's gone back to being a heel again, before she was this weird like version of the character when she was part of Chase U. But now she's fully just JC Jane from Toxic Attraction. And now she runs around with Cruella DeVille Cowboy. And they just, that doesn't feel like they have a real, I mean, yes, they're both mean girls or whatever, but like they have two entirely different types of characters.
Who talk shit and lose all the time.
You know, like that's the thing. Like, you know, like I think that both of them are really, really talented.
Agreed.
And they're absolute veterans of the game at this point. I just don't know. You got to figure out a way to like make them more similar if you're going to make them into a real tag team, like on the main roster. I have no doubt they could hang with the likes of most of the tag teams on the main roster. But they don't feel like, they feel like I am this type of version of a heel and I am this type of version of a heel. And we both don't like all those bitches. So we're going to team up together. Also, we have a sidekick. And like, it doesn't really, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't really feel like it's cohesive yet. But I think that both of them are very, very good in the ring.
I agree with you on that. I think, well, I think if you're going to try and save this angle, which I feel like you should just end it at this point, because they've only been made to look like chumps. Mm-hmm. When and if Gigi Dolin is healthy again, her coming out and just beating the hell out of Jasmine Nix and being like, no, let me remind both of these women who we are in NXT is something that could be really compelling. You could play off of the dynamics of Gigi and JJ and tell a story there. That I don't think this collection of women has had a story other than those people have been here less time than we have. And they've done a bad job telling even that. So it feels like they're wasting their time with these NXT angles. Like there's nothing that we need to see from them in NXT to show us that they're main roster ready, in my opinion.
Yes.
So I agree, Julia and Steph are two of the, I think that Fallon and JC are two of the best in NXT and really great in the WWE landscape. Julia and Steph are two of the best wrestlers, period, in the world. So, yes, I think you're right about that.
Alpha Bill saying, does that mean that she kidnaps horses like Cruella de Vil? But I forgot what we called her, Cruella de Horse Girl, because she wears a floor-length Dalmatian fur coat. Like, it's white with black spots on it. Like, it's not full Dalmatian, but it's white with black spots on it and a cowboy hat. Like, that's her thing. And I don't know.
Cruella the Horse Girl.
Cruella the Horse Girl. So, yeah. But yes, this match is all good. The shenanigans happen outside the ring.
Yes.
As Kalani comes and attacks Jasmine Nix at ringside and beats her up, which then costs JC Jane. She ends up getting that package pile driver backbreaker thing that Steph uses.
Really cool.
She gets that. And Julia's basically got Fallon in a STF, so she can't break up the pinfall, and they get the victory. But there was a thing earlier where like, oh, and yeah, we're going to spin the wheel to make the deal on the stipulation for our match, even though you won't even know who we're going to face in the match. And so the show was getting toward the end. I was like, don't you guys have a heart out? Like,
I mean,
this feels
kind of
like, don't you guys have a heart out is what I thought to myself. And they finally cut to the bad girls up by the wheel, and they were standing there for like 1/1000, 2/1000, 3/1000, 4/1000, and then went to spin the wheel. And I was like, you guys are cutting it really short. I hope we get to find out what the wheel lands on. And it lands on Spinner's Choice. And I thought to myself, oh, okay. Well, are they going to tell us right now? No, that's going to be a thing we have to get on the pre-show for Halloween Havoc on Sunday. And then Delta shows up. I'm not calling her the other thing. Delta shows up, and she is backlit. Like, the same lights that shine on the front of Sheamus shine behind her. and she looks terrifying. Like, and I was like, oh, and as we see her there, I'm like, oh, this is where she destroys all three members of Fatal Influence and then points at Kalani. And we're just skipping right to Delta beats the dog crap out of Kalani and becomes North American Women's Champion. I thought that's what we were going to do. I don't know if that was the plan, because as soon as they zoomed in on Delta, cut off. Hard network out. So I don't know, like, if they were planning on having her attack anybody or point at anything or do anything, because they ran out of time. So they need to get a lot better at figuring that out. If you're going to be cut off by the network for the late local news or whatever, they got to figure out a way.
That happened, I don't think last week, but the week before as well. I had actually heard, and Corey Brennan had confirmed that, like, the network was just like, we're going to cut it off. Like,
we're
you guys better finish your shit.
Yeah.
But I love the way that she arrived.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if to build the, I think, legend of her. You had said she should be almost like female Oba Femi, and I agree.
Mm-hmm.
If she goes through Fatal Influence one match at a time, destroys all three on the way to seeing Kalani or something to give Kalani a little bit more room to try and right the ship, I feel like, with this title reign that hasn't been so great, in my opinion.
I mean, if the plan is to take it off of her in a month, just do it now. You know what I mean? Like, just do it now. I don't need to watch more of the floundering. Like, they made a mistake in June when they put the title on Kalani, because they have still not done anything to distinguish her at all as a character. She's very talented in the ring, can do a lot of amazing athletic things. They put the title on her without telling us anything about her, then told us gymnastics, and they haven't done anything since. So
they did tell us gymnastics.
So
and not a whole lot else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was hoping, you know, honestly, I thought the Spooky feud was going to be helpful, because I feel like those are good for defining people, and it didn't do a whole lot for the character either. I feel bad for her. Like, I feel like it just was putting the cart before the horse a little bit, but she's incredibly, she's got a very bright future. But I think that match with Sol Ruka was, like, probably the most memorable one of her reign, and it was the first one, and it was an incredible display of athleticism that did not feel like a title was on the line. So,
right.
I hope that they go back to the drawing board with her and draw something this time, because they did not they did not draw anything for her. So I do feel like that's I think it would be good to build up Delta a little bit first. Like, I think it would be fun to have her chew through some web and just a couple of 2 minute matches to get us going and then face her. I think it gives Claudia a little bit more credibility in losing, but I don't think they have any, do they have any PLEs down the home stretch in November and December?
Like NXT?
Yeah.
Well, they got Halloween Havoc and the next one is Deadline.
Deadline. Okay. So
they do Iron Survivory.
I forgot about, oh, Delta and an Iron Survivory match.
I mean, at that point, just she should be the NXT North American champion defending it while we see Julia and Steph trying to pin as many women as possible to get that title.
That's kind of cool. That's kind of,
you know what
cool.
I mean? Yeah. To me, that's mine. But Ryan Jacquini of Fatal Influence says, honestly, they need a Roxanne type to lead them.
They kind of do. They, you know, they what I mean? Mandy Rose back. Like this is not that far off.
JC and Fallon feel like they are equals, but not, like, not leaders. That makes sense. And Jasmine is certainly well beneath them in the totem pole. You need, like, the person who's like, okay, girls, let's go. They need a Mandy Rose.
They need a Shania Twain to say, let's go, girls. Yeah.
That, there you go. Alpha Bill says that Zaria is not a great meow.
I feel like Alex thinks it doesn't command respect, and with somebody like Delta coming in, you want to put some respect on her name.
Yeah. Ryan Cicchini says Vaquer is maybe the smoothest WWE wrestler already, second to Io. Julia has that Becky in her, not as athletically gifted, but reels you in. I think those are good comparisons.
Very fair.
Sophie says lots of women's action. Zaria, I'm thinking maybe Zaria, I'm not sure. Zaria debut, tag match was good, and Julia looked more comfortable having Steph around. I like NXT like this. No doubt the top of the women's card is really, really good.
Very, very, very strong.
Ryan Cicchini also thought that Zaria was stealing their match when she showed up. Like, it just felt like almost like they were like, no, you could go. Like, it felt like they would say, like, no, you're fine. No, you can totally cut. You can cut.
You can JC cut. Jade has the comedic chops for that too.
Yeah. And then Tim McFall says, I'm in the minority, but I had fun tonight, minus the Ashanti SH and Oba and Nikki stories. I love Julia, but Vaquer is her. Steph versus Io, Bailey, Rhea, Bianca, Naomi, Roxy, and Mia now, please. It's hard to do all of those things now. You kind of like to space those out. I don't know.
It's 11:43 Eastern. You gotta, like, to do them right now.
But you also got to put them in order. You got to, like, prioritize. I'm just saying. Delta's new name is ass, but presentation is fire.
I like Zaria better than Zaria, so we'll see what
it is. I do like Zaria better than Zaria, but maybe it's just the way I was looking at it. And because the vignette was her, like, standing on the top of a mountain looking at a brick wall that said Halloween Havoc on it. And I'm like, she was on top of a mountain and there was a brick wall in front of her. I was like, how tall is the brick wall? You know what I mean? She was standing on top of a mountain and there was a brick wall like 10 feet in front of her. And I was
very,
like,
very
weird.
Tall wall. If she is Zaria, though, she could team with Pete Dunne and they would be Pete Zaria.
Proud of yourself for that one?
I'm so proud of myself.
Okay. We have some puns. All right, here we go.
I'm gonna let my dog out of this room so you get started on the puns, because okay. I'm not gonna know horror movie names anyway.
No, you're not. Lieutenant Colonel Photo says Nightmare on Elm Street profits. Mate Normus says A Quiet Daily's Place. And The Shining Wizard. Lieutenant Colonel Photo says The Pennywise Man, Paul Heyman. I like that one. The Pennywise Man, Paul Heyman. Teletric Mayhem says Train to Busaikuni and The Burbs Mortos. Now you're speaking my language. The Burbs Mortos is amazing. Insert clever Tegan Knox pun says Halloween Knox. I like that very much. Insert clever Tegan Knox pun says Tegan Knoxferatu. Meet Normus says shenanigan again. Again. Chris Barrera says Bride of Frankensteiner. I like that one a lot. Chris Pereira says, whatever happened to baby JC Jane? That's good too. Chris Pereira says, get out the mud. Get out the mud. Lieutenant Colonel Photo says, the candy mandible claw.
Hello, it's me. Are you talking about movies that give you American nightmares, like my son?
Yes, we're talking about that.
Okay, well, I'll be back later, but I got to go back to the great beyond.
Okay, bye. Chris Pereira says, what we do in the Sandos. Not what we do in the Shadows. It's an FX. It's a F and FX.
I got you.
Horror comedy show. Got you. What we do in the Sandows. Lieutenant Colonel Photo says, Kevin Frankenstein.
Very nice.
Louisville
fight Frankenstein
says,
fight, yeah.
Yeah. Louisville says House of Blackula.
Very nice.
Interview with a Vampiro. Lieutenant Colonel Photo says Final Destination of Domination.
Very good. Very good.
Meet Normus says Samoa Cujo, Pinhead of the Table. I Know What You Did Last Summer Slam, which is also one from Lieutenant Colonel Photo. Guys, both of those got up. Swerve's House on Haunted Hill. The People Under the Table, Ladders and Stairs match. Chris Pereira says Cabin in the Xavier Woods. That's
very good. Nice.
Chris Pereira says the Baba Doink. Not the Baba Duke, but the Baba Doink.
Very good.
Meet Norman says The Silence of the Get These Lambs. Tom LaValle says El Hijo del Chucky. Child's Play 5. El Hijo del Chucky.
Very good.
Chris Pereira says Invasion of the Body Donnas.
Pretty nice.
Chris J.D. Pringle says The Gabagool Busters. Lieutenant Colonel Photo says Are You Afraid of the Dark Order? Big Fat Orange Cat says L.A. Night of the Living Dead.
Very good.
Very good.
Alex, has anybody done See No Evil? Because Evil the Wrestler? Who is terrible?
No, but I'm going to do one. Cena Evil.
Even better.
Cena Evil. There you go. Louisville says Chopping Molly Holly.
Chopping Mall, which I was able to watch.
Which you were
like
able to watch.
Like a grown-up.
Like a grown-up, and in which there was no chopping. It was just mostly poking.
Come on, man. Why you gotta water it down? It's like the one horror movie I can watch.
Tom LaValle is a big Balian fan. So
very
he's
nice.
Also so he's called a he's a face hugger. Not a hugger, but a face hugger. Meet Normus says Resident Evil Uno.
Very
Bam,
nice.
Bam Bam Boogeyman. Which is just putting two wrestlers together, which I like a lot. Terrific Mayhem says Maximum Male Models Overdrive. Maximum Overdrive is good. B. Brian Blair Witch. Meet Normus says Beetlejuice Robinson.
Very good.
Tour of the Islands of Dr. Moreau. Pure Fusion Conjuring. And Arachnophobia Ripley. Tom LaValle says, Jake summed the thing.
Even I know that one.
That's really good. And Wrestling with Movies says, Nightmare on Elm Yeet.
Yeeting is kind of a nightmare at this point.
It is. It is. It is. Yeah. Some sad news. Los Angeles Dodgers in the World Series this year. Fernando Valenzuela passed away, 63 years old.
Oh, that is a bummer.
We got one. We only got one jukebox here, guys. Only one.
My God.
Only one jukebox. Yeah.
Are we going home so early?
We're going home so early, you guys. We got one jukebox. Hello.
Ricky.
It's for me. The jukebox is for me. And they want me. Hold on. Who is it? It's Tom LaValle wants me to sing Sympathy for the Devil by the Rolling Stones. So
it's good to have sympathy for MJF.
I'm going or Adam to Cole do Ryan. That. Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste. I've been around for a long, long year. Stole many a man's soul and faith. And I was around when Jesus Christ, that is the moment of doubt and pain, made damn sure that Pilate washed his hands and sealed his fate. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name. It's Ricky. But what's puzzling you is the nature of my game. It's Parcheesi. Snuck around St. Petersburg when I saw it was time for a change. Killed the Tsar and his ministers. Anastasia screamed in vain. I rode a tank. Held a general's hank. When the blitzkrieg raged and the body stank. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name. Oh, yeah. What's puzzling you is the nature of my game. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
You're a Parcheesi guy.
Yeah, it's my game. I'm undefeated.
Remember You're when undefeated Bianca, at Parcheesi.
When Bianca Belair used to go, I'm undefeated. She got that from me.
She that was stole my it catch, from you.
That was my catchphrase in Parcheesi. She stole it from me.
You should sue.
I should sue. I should. All right. Bye.
Bye, great to see you.
Hey, back to being me. Something I remembered, and I'm really angry that I forgot to say it with the Lexus King thing, that he needs a corner man for a what's it called? A Heritage Cup match. No, yes. He doesn't. No, he doesn't. Because Double Vest had a Heritage Cup championship match with no corner man. The Beach said, I'll be your corner man, and says, no, I got to do this by myself. So if he doesn't need a corner man, then Lexus King could just have the match without a corner man now. So all of this, no sense made. So
zero sense. None of the sense was made.
All right.
If cool. You were like, oh, where's the sense manufacturer? Not here.
Not here. Certainly not here. Meet Normus wants something, but I don't know if this person would be available to...
Oh, no, he stopped by for a minute earlier. He sounded under the weather or something. But...
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's got a cold. It's been going around. It's been going around. Yeah. It's that time of year. I don't know.
It is. Jeremy... Oh!
I'm fine. So, I had to leave so I could take some echinacea because I'm coming down with something, but you know how I'm very much, you know how it is. Only
you sound much better now. That worked really fast.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Honestly, it's true. You know what? They also goggle some honey. Put a little honey in the back of your throat and goggle. It works wonders. So, yeah. But can I sing the Ghostbusters theme? Well, of course I can. Here we go. Also, Wrestling the Movie says Invasion of the Soul Snatchers.
That's a really good one.
That's also a very good pun there, really but hold on. Into something strange in your neighborhood, baby. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. Into something weird and it don't look good. Now, who are you going to call, baby? Ghostbusters. I ain't afraid of no ghost. I said, I ain't afraid of no ghost. If you're seeing things running through your head, who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. An invisible man sleeping in your bed, daddy. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. I ain't afraid of no ghost. I ain't afraid of no ghost. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. Who are you going to call? If you're all alone, pick up the phone and call Ghostbusters. I ain't afraid of no ghosts. I hear it like the girls. Oh, I ain't afraid of no ghosts. Yeah. Who going to call? If you had a dose of a freaky ghost, baby, you better call Ghostbusters. Ow. That's all times.
Dusty, can I ask you a question?
Hold on. Big finish. Busting makes me feel good.
That was beautiful. Worth it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Are Ghostbusters what they call brainbusters in Wrestler Heaven?
Well, I mean, yes, I suppose so. Like, yes. Yes.
Okay.
I mean, every move is a Ghostbuster in Wrestler Heaven. Brainbusters, gut busters.
Anything getting busted, really, is
anything. Anything being everything being busted is a Ghostbuster. But also, like, body slams, a pile driver, anything that might bust a ghost could be titled a Ghostbuster. So,
what are you going as for Halloween?
We talked about this, I believe, before. I was gonna go with Ric Flair. I was gonna put on a sparkly a robe and I was gonna straighten my hair and put on a sparkly robe and just be a jackass all night. And I was like, I'm Ric Flair.
But didn't you change your mind and we decided you were gonna be Buddy Landell? But
Adrian the Adonis.
Adrian the Adonis.
Because you know, I don't really want to be Ric Flair, but I mean, that was a joke. But yes. So anyway, I guess that's it. So I'm gonna go ahead and say, keep cool, gabagools. We'll see you for Halloween Havoc.
Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.